Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Robots Radio presents...
You're listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast, the best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio, and I will be your host for a very special episode. It's our monthly patron roundtable. All of our wizard and deity patrons over at patreon.com/dndlorecast are leveled up enough to join us in the tower, as well as one or two invited guests. It's a short break from the lore to discuss various topics relating to Dungeons & Dragons. Think of it like shooting the breeze, table talking with some other members of your party. Let's go ahead and just jump into the conversation. I am joined to my virtual left by Coffee. Say hello.
Hello.
And to my virtual right, Mary C. Say hello.
Hello.
And hopefully we are joined by Wolfslore. We extended the invite, and he might be having some technical issues, but if he jumps in later in the conversation, then you know exactly why. It's not that we've been ignoring him this entire time. But we are talking about idiosyncratic beliefs and behaviors when it comes to playing Dungeons & Dragons. Just sort of like the little like weird, unique like quirks that you exhibit or that you've seen others exhibit while playing the game. And I'll go ahead and get us started. I'll go ahead and just go ahead and put myself out on Front Street. One of the things that I do is I buy specific dice for characters, and these characters might not even exist yet. But if I see a certain dice set, I think to myself like, oh yeah, that's a ranger for sure, or that's a sorcerer for sure. I will buy them, and then next time I roll up, you know, one of those characters. Those are the dice that I'm going to use, and as a result, I have way too many sets of dice that I haven't even touched yet, that are just collecting dust on my shelf. Mary, how about you? What's something weird and unique that you do while you're playing D&D?
Well, I didn't expect to be called out straight out of the gate with the getting dice for specific characters.
If that slug was not meant for you. If you took it, then you know that's not on me. I was talking about something right. That I do.
Right. I absolutely buy them with characters in mind. Usually I've created the characters first though. So there's that. I've also purchased dice for my players' characters in campaigns that I DM because I feel like they match that one, but I'm one of those DMs that sends them stuff. So one of mine would have to be, I have a dice tower of Moloch. He is the character that's on the front of the first player's handbook. Got him as a gift. He does not roll well unless I feed him red sweet tarts first. Have to roll one down first. Otherwise I roll like all of the dice are cursed and against me. And it doesn't matter which set it is. He doesn't care which type of dice. It's just the one specific candy is his very favorite.
So have you tried using a different kind of candy and it not work?
I have not tried.
I figured out what works. I don't want to mess with that.
Yes, exactly. That is, if it ain't broke, I'm not going to try to fix it and make it worse.
Makes sense. How about you, Coffee? Any weird behaviors that you exhibit with dice?
No, not really. I can really think of.
How many sets do you have? Do you own?
I own one.
Just the one. So that I feel.
Unless you count the starter set, which I don't use.
Well, that's funny you mentioned the starter set. Friend of the show, Darkwing MT, when discussing this topic, very vehemently said, do not use starter set dice. They always roll against the player. You know, methinks that they might be loaded in Wizards of the Coast favor. But I was going to say, having just one set of dice might be unique in and of itself, because I don't know that I know anyone that plays D&D with just one set, because it starts to be a little bit of an addiction.
I have a friend that only played with one set until I continued to threaten to send him a bunch of them, and he didn't think I would follow through, and I shipped him a pound of dice.
1 pound of dice.
Mm-hmm. Approximately 7 or 8 sets, I think.
And speaking of the aforementioned Wolf's Lore,
hello.
They have joined us. We're talking about idiosyncratic beliefs and behaviors while playing D&D. We're starting off with dice. We're starting off hot with dice. What are some of your unique quirks when it comes to dice?
I do the famous gambler's blow, you know, where you're doing.
Of course.
I have my own dice jails where they go into timeout for 5 minutes and then I'll use them again, swap them out. I heard mention of the only one set of dice. That's like I have 3 or 4 always ready to go. Always one set of metal dice, which the metal dice are for battle. They are in intense situations. I bust them out because there's something so satisfying about the heavy clank and
yeah, it's like the sound of battles, the sound of like swords, like meaty armor. Yeah, I like that a lot. Speaking of dice jails, this is something that I feel has like taken a life of its own. Like it started off like as sort of like, I'm just going to put these like off to the side. They're in dice jail. And now you can actually like go on Etsy, go on Amazon even, and buy these pre-made dice jails. And then it's according to the RPG Museum Wikipedia, it says dice jail is a place where players can put dice that roll badly, which cause negative consequences for the player characters. Example given, a critical fail. Dice that are put in dice jail are not used for subsequent rolls, perhaps for the rest of the session, and is therefore usually only a part of culture for players who have large dice collections. Dice jail is connected to the concept of dice shaming.
Oh boy.
And so, yeah, just the idea of like, you know, putting the dice in the corner because they're not rolling well for you, which I've
absolutely done that.
Nobody puts dice in a corner.
And so, yeah, just like the idea of like there's so many like cool and like weird and unique like perk or quirks that come with dice, you know, dice jail, using certain dice for certain characters, or like in Wolf's Lore's case, for certain encounters he uses the metal dice for combat. What about rituals that you partake in like before, during, or after a session? How about you, Wolf Lore? You seem like you have something to say.
The one I do every time without fail is if I've been rolling good for a session, I will take that dice and I will roll it the hell out of it, just like pre-rolls to get all the bad rolls out. Like, even if it's just like, it's all like, there's a few good rolls in here. It's now going to all fail. I have to like just pre-throw it to put everything back in order.
Realign its chakras.
Yeah, it, exactly.
Like, ready to go.
Like, well, I prime my dice.
No, that makes sense, because I've if I start to roll well with a specific set of dice and then I get a couple of bad rolls, then I'll put those to the side. Be like, all right, like yeah, I've gotten all my good rolls out, because obviously like I got an 18 on a persuasion check and a 17 on a investigation. I wasted my good rolls on the with these dice on that. Now that we're going into combat, I need something else. What about you, Coffee? What do you have, any rituals that you partake in before, after a session, or even during? Like, is there something that you found yourself doing?
No, I'm just a simple guy.
Simple guy, just go in and play.
Yeah.
Do you going into a session, is there anything that you like to mentally prepare somehow? Because I know that you've played the library a couple times.
We've actually switched over to a friend's house because the place we were going to, we were playing, quit opening on the weekend, the weekdays.
Oh, okay.
So.
I've never had much experience in playing in like a public setting. I know like, you know, most like game shops will have tables set up where you can play. My buddy during our last, session was actually like had his laptop set up and he was at a bar and the guy sitting next to him was like, "Hey, what do you got going on?" And he's like, "Oh, me and my friends are going to play D&D online." And this guy was all about it. Like he actually wanted to jump into the game and was like, "Oh, we actually, we're in the middle of a campaign and,
that's awesome.
You know, and like you guys are, we're on the astral plane. So it'd be kind of weird to like figure out how to, plus he was already kind of drunk too. So, we're not exactly sure, like, you know, what kind of game we'd get out of him. But after that, like, you know, he started talking to the bar owner was like, they're saying that they wanted to get like a Tuesday game nights started up, which would be kind of cool. Like, I mean, that would very much invite some sort of like ritual, you know, get ready to go out and do that. And perhaps have like a cool down session, like go grab like, you know, some late night tacos or something.
That's awesome.
Mary, how about you? Do you have any rituals before or after a game?
Aside from collecting snacks, I've never played a session in person. That is not a thing I have ever done. I have only ever played online. Even with the people that are local, I've not done the thing face to face. So it's usually a matter of going through the house, making sure I have like iced tea. I usually listen to like ambient fantasy board game music or whatever on Spotify. So I just like kind of listen to D&D music all day, kind of try to get myself in the mindset of doing the thing because I get easily derailed and distracted, unfortunately.
But well, yeah, get yourself in a good headspace for sure. Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here's one, especially for online. I know I do before as well. I love doing character voices, embodying that character. Do you ever like the hours or so leading up to a session? You're just walking around talking in your character voice to prime it, just sounding like a crazy person.
You're supposed to not talk in character voices in public. I just thought that was like around the clock thing.
It can be frowned upon for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for my online sessions, which the campaign that I'm a part of right now, that has been the longest I've been a part of it since going on 2 years now, like right around the beginning of the pandemic and the lockdowns and everything. It's an old professor of mine, the Dog Indie, shout out to him, Patreon supporter. And it's his husband and several colleagues of his that he's known throughout the years and old friends and all that. And they're in New York. One of them is in New Orleans. One's in Houston and I'm outside of Dallas. So like, you know, and then San Francisco as well. So like we're literally like all across the United States spanning several different time zones. And so obviously online is how we have to play. And for a while, I had this ritual that I get off of work and I would go to the store and I'd buy about like three like small bags or boxes of candy, usually like a variety of them, like, you know, like some hot tamales, which are my favorite, and like some gummy worms or some gummy bears. Mm-hmm. And then something, whatever caught my eye, maybe something chocolate, and then a 2 liter of soda. Not exactly the most, you know, the healthiest option for a man entering middle age, but that's what I would eat and drink for like that was my dinner for every other Friday. That's what I would do. And I haven't done that as much now. I still do the candy, but usually I drink like some sort of like carbonated water, like flavored water, like a Topo or a LaCroix or something, which is definitely better than the 2 liter of soda. But every so often I'll still smash a Mountain Dew during game time.
Love it. Sour gummies are my go-to D&D candy. Absolutely. always sour candy. Every time.
I remember the one of the last times that we met in person for like our local D&D group. Man, we went to the grocery store and just got a murderer's row of junk food, like candy and popcorn and like pizza rolls and like all sorts of stuff. And it was that and the good thing, we also ordered pizza and wings. You know, we were only meeting once a month at that point, but yeah, so we kind of we kind of made it a thing at that point. Wolf's Lore, is there anything, any particular food or drink that you eat during D&D?
Nothing ever like specific.
Just whatever tickles your fancy.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like the normal thing we did at a point was just order a bunch of like pizzas, just because we had a diverse people with a bunch of like dietary restrictions. So it's easy to get pizza with different crust sauces, for sure, yeah. You know.
Well, that being said, let's go ahead and jump to the middle of the show and we'll be right back. Welcome to the middle of the show. The middle of the show, of course, is when we take an opportunity to, one, thank our patrons, two, discuss any announced upcoming miniature releases, three, cover any of the latest D&D news from Wizards of the Coast, and four, of course, check out the DMs Guild to see what kind of homebrew shenanigans we can get into this week. Let's start off by thanking our patrons. This week, since it is the patron roundtable, we want to thank those patrons that can join us each month for this discussion. All wizard and deity level patrons can join us for the world famous, the multiverse famous patron roundtable on the D&D Lorecast. Thank you to Bjorn Ironside, Climbing Zebra, Coffee, and Tex Tenstar, as well as our newest wizard patron, Darkwing MT. Thank you so much for supporting the show in this way. If you are interested in joining them or perhaps another tier, you can go to patreon.com/dndlorecast. We have tiers ranging from $5 to $75, all sorts of cool stuff involving stickers and t-shirts, early episodes, bonus episodes. You can have me or Crit join your campaign for a session as a guest character, as a guest either PC or NPC. Just a bunch of cool stuff if you are if you're interested in that. And if you're not in a position that you're able to sign up for the Patreon, totally understand that. You can still continue to support the show by leaving us reviews on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, leaving us 5-star ratings, telling a friend, you know, retweeting us on Twitter, just generally getting the word out. You know, there's more than one way to support the show, and we appreciate every single one of them. That being said, not much in the way of miniatures, but we do have some D&D news. Unfortunately, due to production issues, we have some delays on some of the upcoming D&D stuff. The campaign case Terrain was moved to August 16th. And unfortunately, Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel, which is their upcoming adventure anthology, has been pushed back about a month to July 19th. That doesn't affect the campaign case Creatures, which is also scheduled to be released July 19th, nor does it affect the Spelljammer Adventures in Space collection that's still releasing August 16th. So we thought we're gonna start off D&D summer a little bit early, but unfortunately we'll have to wait till July. But then it's strong until August. And personally, I cannot wait for either one of those books. With that being said, let's check out the DMs Guild, see what kind of shenanigans we can get into there. Now, usually I like to recommend something from the DMs Guild that is tied somehow to the lore that we're covering. So if we're covering Ravenloft or Strahd, something having to do with Barovia, or something that will enhance your Curse of Strahd campaign might be suggested. In this case, since it is the patron roundtable, there's not much lore that we're getting into. So I'm going to freestyle a little bit. I am going to recommend the Simple 5e Microsoft Word Template and Beginner's Guide from Laura Hirschbrunner. For $4.95, you'll be able to create polished layouts in Microsoft Word. It says this template for Microsoft Word allows you to easily create polished supplements without investing in expensive design software. Enjoy doing mostly painless layout using software you already own. So with this, you are essentially able to design whether stat block monsters, NPCs, creatures, full adventures that look and feel like an official D&D release. If you have ever been interested in making your own adventures, seeing how other people will react to your homebrew campaigns, this would be something fantastic to purchase off of DM's Guild. In fact, I'm suggesting it because we are going to use it as we continue to compile and collect our own magic items of the week collection for release sometime in the near future. So like I said, if you are at all interested in creating your own creatures or designing your own campaign setting or writing your own adventure, then this template available for only $4.95 on the DM's Guild should be exactly what you need, so that it looks and feels just like any other D&D book you'll find at your local gaming store. It's called Simple 5e Microsoft Word Template and Beginner's Guide. Like I said, we're going to use it for the Magic Items of the Week, and I'm sure you can use it for any number of things as well. That being said, let's go ahead, dive into the end of the show, and wrap this puppy up. Thank you so much for rejoining us for the end of the show as we continue and finish our discussion on idiosyncratic beliefs, behaviors when it comes to D&D, like having special dice, using certain dice for certain situations or for certain characters, rituals that you might engage in, certain foods that you eat or drinks that you consume. And let's finish off the show with D&D superstitions. I know we've kind of touched on superstitions in regards to how we treat some of our dice. Like Mary mentioned her Moloch dice tower that only provides good rolls after a certain type of candy is provided. A sacrifice must be made, or an offering, rather.
A snackrifice,
as she calls it. And Wolf's Lore has mentioned like putting his dice in a dice jail if they're not acting appropriately, or priming his dice so that he gets all the bad rolls out before combat starts. But beyond that, do you have any other superstitions, or is there anything that you believe will improve your chances at rolling a natural 20, which is obviously, like, you know, the goal every time. It's the goal every time you roll a d20.
Something I do, and it sounds super weird, is my dice is
no one's gonna yuck your yum on this show, on this episode at least. This is all about the weird stuff we do during D&D.
Yeah.
Right. So I keep my dice in groups. They're not allowed to intermingle, because if one of them's having bad juju, I cannot allow it to spread. So it's all like this dice set sitting here, this dice set sitting over here. They're all kind of where I can reach them, but they will not touch.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Not just from like an OCD standpoint, just because like if I have a dice bag, you know, like I don't want to have to like root through the whole bag and find an entire set. You know, want to be able to have like that set and like all sip, like, you know, the entire family with like quickly within my reach. And so I'm still trying to figure out how to have a dice bag, you know, while like compartmentalizing all the different sets. One, so they, you know, so they're easier access. And two, mm-hmm. like you said, if one, you know, is having some bad luck, I don't want it to affect the other dice, which it will, obviously, simply by osmosis, by proxy, by touching.
Mine are so chaotic. I have one that is a mixed of the ones I don't use as frequently are all mixed together in an abalone shell. I have a tray that has several that are specific to characters. And then directly in front of me, I have three sets that stay out at all times, but they also have small polymer clay figurines that hang out with them. And it's kind of a, they like being together. So they're together and that makes them happier. Then all my mini dice are in a small, like a shot glass type glass over here.
Nice. How about you, Copy? Do you have any superstitions, any sort of old wives' tales that you subscribe to while playing D&D?
No. It might be because I'm going to say I'm probably the youngest person here who plays D&D.
I mean, it doesn't take long for a superstition.
That is true. I mean, I don't really have any superstitions, so.
You might not even be conscious of them yet.
That is true.
You might actually have something that like maybe you roll like you shake up your hands a certain amount of times before you let go of the dice.
I mean, I will occasionally switch from the D&D Beyond dice to my IRL dice. That's really it.
So what causes the switch? Is it bad rolls? Is it just?
I think it's bad rolls on the D&D Beyond side.
I don't know that I don't know that I trust the computer dice because.
That's why I've been switching.
the aforementioned DM from the 2-year campaign that I've been in, he actually rolls physical dice, and I swear, like, he rolls immaculately, and we're over here rolling D&D Beyond dice, digital dice. And, you know, 13s, 14s, you know, with a modifier, like we might end up with a hit. But this guy is rolling like 18, 19s, which is end up like a, you know, 23 or 24, like a 24 hit. Like, you know damn well a 24 hit. Stop it. Come on.
I'm just curious where he gets these dice that a DM can actually roll well with, because I am cursed.
He might have made a deal with Asmodeus himself.
Should have known.
Have a friend who one of his superstitions is he'll set all of his dice with the one up because he feels as if the lowest number is already on top, then he'll roll something better than that.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Very interesting. I can't look if I'm rolling it. I have to look away when I roll. Even the digital ones, I'll click and look away until it's done and then look at the result. I don't want to see it happen. Don't want to see this happen. But
so what's the thought process behind that? You're just like, you don't want, like, do you think it'll be better if you don't see?
I don't know. Maybe they get nervous if you watch them, I guess. Get a little like stage fright or something.
I swear that one doesn't happen often. First time.
Yeah, like, I don't want them to get. Yeah, I don't want them to get nervous. We'll go with that.
You know, all this talk about rolling dice and having superstitions and weird like rituals behind it. I'm starting to realize that obviously, you know, rolling a 20, rolling a natural 20, is a big deal. It doesn't happen terribly often, but I could almost say with 100% certainty that I've definitely rolled 20 more often than I've rolled a one.
I have not.
Because, I mean, yeah, because I don't know that rolling a one, like in my personal experience, has been all that, you know, common.
Oh, I do so frequently. Roll 20 does not like me. It does not. I do not roll well on there. It is very rare that I get anything decent. It's just how it is. I've accepted my fate. I don't know why I've angered the gods, but I have. And that's just how it is. I'll atone for it later. I'll be nice to something somewhere down the line and it'll, you know, redemption arc. But yeah, I roll nat ones spectacularly and it's always at the best moment. Like always. I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to start trying some of y'all's superstitions and see if it helps. And then I'll come back with results of my experiment.
I was going to say, if you're on a particularly bad streak and how aside from using another set of dice, how would you go about, you know, fixing that? Do you just you know, try to grit your teeth and get through, like lower your head and try to get through the encounter or the session and hope that your character doesn't die? Or do we have at least a semi-canonical way to appease the dice gods?
I do not. I really don't. I just switch them out. I've got like close to 40 something sets of dice. I can just keep switching until somebody works for me.
What of these dice will like me?
Somebody will like me.
Like I mentioned earlier, Darkwing says to not use a starter set dice, that they are made in Wizards of the Coast favor to ruin players' games. I've only got the one set of like official like D&D dice, and I don't even know that I've ever used them. I have the D20 sitting on my monitor with the 20 pointed up as a way to, like, you know, so that good energy flows toward me in everything that I do. But yeah, I don't know that I would use a starter set dice. What were you holding up, Wolf's Lore?
Oh, this is one of my metal dice.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Is that really hefty?
So is there any other sort of superstitions that you have as far as gaming goes? Is there any, do you have any catchphrases? So we're talking about this before we start recording, catchphrases when you roll a D20.
Nothing like specifically. But during combat, always have to hit the one-liners, man.
Oh yeah.
For sure. Going to say there's something so good about, like, right before you roll, you gotta like come up with whatever one-liner you have and then you roll.
For sure, like for it. Sure. In the game that I was DMing for my friends recently, I want to say like one of the catchphrases was like "Cowabunga." It's like, so like I slide in between his legs, and because, you know, like I'm gonna shoot him with my you know, with my crossbow or whatever, and so. Or I'm going to do whatever it is, you know, against him. I slide in between his legs, and right before I slash his gut, I say, "Cowabunga." And it's like, and that's how he kills him.
That's amazing.
One, I'll keep this as PG-13 as possible. One ripped off a part of the anatomy of the monster.
Oh,
threw it at the monster, and that or actually hit the monster with it, and that was actually what killed him. And so that is entered like local D&D lore.
I love it. Not my I can go ahead, my Mary. Boyfriend has one. Usually he has a half-orc named Corn, and we love him.
Named Corn. Okay, with a K or with a C?
With a C.
Okay.
It was initially kind of a joke character and became a thing, which keeps happening in my groups.
Like 80% of characters.
It's one of our things. He likes to use his great axe, and he always says, you know, "Oh, look, she split him in twain." And that's what he rolls for. And I swear he consistently crits to split things in twain.
Like it.
He's got all the good rolls.
One of my friends, before he rolls any skill checks, he'll say "clickety clackety, hope it's nothing crappity," which is great.
I like it. So cheesy.
Whenever I end up rolling a natural 20, I always say, "Oh, I think I won a lotto," which if you are a fan of Estonian rapper Tommy Cash, much like myself, then you know that that is from his song "Win a Lotto." But I think that's the only catchphrase that I have. I like, you know, the one-liners are necessary, obviously, especially in that campaign where I'm playing a rogue named Razzmatazz, who's known for his sharp dagger, his sharp scimitar, and his sharp wit.
Nice.
He's one of the co-owners of the Skullport brothel known as the Rosy Cheek.
Fantastic.
But yeah, I think that's the only like catchphrase that I have. And as far as superstitions go, yeah, like obviously, like if I'm not getting good dice rolls and I want to switch off, you know, I definitely blame the dice gods. Like we've done something to anger them. We've done something to you know, earn their wrath. But we got to figure out somehow to appease them. Like what can we do to appease the dice gods? I know that to appease Moloch, you offer a piece of candy, a certain red candy.
Yes, he likes sweet tarts. They are his favorite, which is convenient because they're also one of my favorites. He's also wearing Mardi Gras beads at the moment, but
nice.
He's been on vacation. It's fine.
He's earned the time off.
He's earned it. I wonder if, as opposed to dice jails, what if instead of that we reform them and give them a spa instead? Because I've seen that as well.
Yeah, let's look at the European style of like criminal reformation.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to just like locking them up. Let's get to the root of the issue. Like, why are you rolling the way you are? Like, what can we do to help you?
Right. Love it. Well, I mean, I said the ones that are in front of me are my favorites. They're kind of my go-to broad spectrum type dice. They are at some sort of concert constantly. I have a small ghost with an accordion that is sitting with them. So I just assume he's playing them something I can't hear. Polkageist.
Polkageist, nice.
So they tend to behave better than the others. And I wonder if maybe it's a neglect situation because there's so many of them. They've got an attitude.
To say, I mean, with as many dice as you have, and you know, that might be it. Maybe they're feeling neglected, like they don't get used as often as they feel they should be. I've got, which I'm starting to worry about some of my. Like, it's almost to the point where like I'm buying dice just to display them. It seems like, but the dice that I've been using most often is because of the adventure that I'm DMing right now. Most of it takes place on the astral plane, so they're this really like sort of cool like greenish purplish like sort of like see-through, like transparent. They kind of like, you know, bleed into one another. That's the other thing too with dice sets, is that I have to have a certain amount of dice. I have to have obviously your d4, your d8, your d12, and I need 2 d20s and 2 d10s. Obviously a D10s for percentiles and 2 D20s for advantages and disadvantage rolls, right? And then I need a grip of 6-sided die, at least 4 of them. And then, but beyond, I mean, that's at bare minimum. That's the bare minimum that I require. And so that usually leads me to buying 2 of the same dice set, because usually they only come in like sets of 7. So that's what I spend a lot of my money on. And now I'm trying to get into minis.
Mini dice or minis?
Mini miniatures. Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have any like rituals or superstitions involving minis? I've never really played with them. I've usually only played with tokens. And so I don't know if there's sort of like a you know, any sort of pre-existing rituals around minis, like whether or not they should be turned a certain way or painted versus unpainted. Whether or not, you know, they are more or less likely that is that character to die. I'm not sure. Should ask Crit about that. We should ask her, our resident mini connoisseur.
I don't mind if it's painted. I wish I got that really big one I got for Christmas. That's something really mini though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, yeah, at a certain point, they like these are. I mean, obviously, like, you know, if it's a dragon, you know, it's mini compared to a dragon. But as far as compared to other minis, they're actually pretty big.
This one. Oh, damn it. Yeah, this one.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the arm broke off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Let's see.
I tried super glue. It didn't work.
Would that affect the mini's performance in-game?
They haven't used it because it's so big. Probably not.
I mean, it's all about superstitions and rituals.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up. Coffee, is there anything you'd like to leave us off with?
Nope.
Mary, how about you?
I can't think of anything. Just appreciate you having me here.
Of course. Thanks for being on. And Wolf's Lore, I know you've got some stuff to plug.
Yeah, I stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/wolfslore. I'm always in the Discord hanging with these cool folks. So, you know, you can always catch us there. That's pretty much it, just across everything as Wolf's Lore.
That's WULFSLORE. And of course, we'll include that in the show notes.
Yeah, spelling Wolf the spicy way.
The spicy way.
Well, then gave you a follow then.
Thank you.
Well, thanks everyone for joining. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord, the text channel. Let us know what some of your D&D idiosyncratic beliefs or behaviors are, some of the rituals or superstitions you take part in. I want to hear them. I want to hear whether or not you put your dice in the freezer when they've been bad, like Darkwing, or whether or not you throw your dice away completely if they end up killing your character. I don't know that I could keep a pair of dice that was that, you know, I rolled 3 death save failures with. I don't know that I would trust that set of dice anymore.
Little body bags for them.
And bury them, put them out to sea. Do they have some sort of ritual? Ceremony.
What you gotta do is get the demons out of it, you know, dip the fingers in like water, say some Latin phrases, flick it on the dice.
I wonder how a priest would react if you come in with a set of dice and ask them, like, will you perform an exorcism on these? Like, get out. Just get out right now. Like, I'm being serious.
I wasn't joking.
Regardless if it's a dice exorcism you need or a dice jail, or you've made a deal with a devil who demands red sweetheart sacrifices. We all have our quirky, idiosyncratic behaviors and beliefs when it comes to playing Dungeons & Dragons. And we would love to hear some of yours. We are at the letters DND Lorecast. That is our @gmail.com. That is our Twitter handle, as well as our Linktree website, which collects all the important social medias. And of course, we are proud members of the Robots Radio Network. A link to our awesome, active, and inviting Discord is in the show notes, as well as all the other shows that Crit and myself have a part of, from other lore casts like The Legend of Zelda or Resident Evil, to scholarly deep dives into various facets of fandom, to live play shows for Dungeons & Dragons, Cyberpunk Red, World of Darkness, and many other TTRPGs. Also in the show notes, and I wanted to mention this before we signed off, is information on a raffle that the D&D Lorecast is holding through the months of May and June. You can win 8 brand new Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition source books. You can win the core rulebook slipcase set, which also comes with a Dungeon Master screen, Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, Volo's Guide to Monsters, Mordekainen's Tome of Foes, Fizbin's Treasury of Dragons, and Xanathar's Guide to Everything. One ticket costs $4, 3 tickets cost $10, and we will announce a winner on our July 7th show. We'll pick one lucky winner, and best of all, 100% of the proceeds will be donated to the Critical Role Foundation. It's the nonprofit organization that was started by the fine folks over at Critical Role. Maybe you've heard of them. You could end up with around $300 worth of solid D&D content while also resting assured that your money is going to a good cause. So if you're able to, please consider buying some tickets. Again, information is in the show notes. And that about wraps it up. With that being said, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. Literally being able to talk about Dungeons & Dragons like this is a dream come true. So fare thee well, dear listeners, and until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thanks for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider sharing it with a friend, following us on Twitter at DNDLorecast, or jumping on the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.com.